Welcome to the Bleep Bulimia podcast with guest Christian Hauser, the Peruvian go-giver.
Hi, everyone. I am Lorianne. I am the host of Bleep Bulimia, and today I'm really pleased to have Christian Hauser with me, and he is the Peruvian go-giver. So thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me, Lorianne. My name is Christian, as you just said, and you know, one of the things that I'm very proud of myself is that I have, over my period of 30 years that I've been alive, I have made over $1 million in sales. And one of the reasons that I was so successful was because I realized the very power of mentorship and habits. Habits in particular, like, it builds on us so strongly that it can either make us very successful or it can give us into like this very unsuccessful like moments. So this is why I'm so glad that you invited me here, because I do believe that bulimia and habits have so much in common in there.
Absolutely. And now I know a little bit of your story. I remember then where we met on Forbes Riley. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning, you were very shy in as far as moving forward and where you wanted to go. Now, granted, you know, sold millions in that, but to actually come out and be, let's say, on a podcast or doing mm-hmm. lives. So tell us about that transformation, because that just amazed me. And I know that there's a few people from Forbes' group that have spoken to that, and you are one of them too. And then where it's brought you to today?
Well, one of the reasons why I was so shy, honestly, is because I'm a huge introvert. Like, when it comes to, even though I'm really good at sales and I call and everything, I'm a huge introvert at heart. And one of the reasons why it became so difficult for me was because even though I was being successful, I was making a lot of money, was that I felt, what do they call it, like the imposter syndrome, where like you're making it in life, but you're like, oh, but all these other people are making it, or it seemed like they're making so much more. And part of me felt like no one is going to listen to a kid, because everywhere I go, people always call me kid or young fella. So I felt like, in a way, they wouldn't listen to me because of that. And I was like, I just assumed that. I'm like, you know what? That's my life. I'm gonna wait till I'm much older, like a lot older, so that then people can maybe take me serious.
Like my age?
No. I mean, you're still in your 20s.
I'm picking on you right now. Okay.
No, definitely not. You don't look a day past 21. Okay. You know. And they probably still ID you when you buy alcohol. They probably still ask for your ID. I can guarantee you that. And one of the things that, like, you know, I work with Forbes was, like, Forbes helped me get permission to be who I am. She gave me that permission to be able to move forward. Just like, Christian, you don't need no one's permission. You don't need to be a certain age. You don't need to be have this and that. And that you can just have permission today to be able to do whatever it is that you want. The worst thing that can happen is that they say no. Or the worst thing that can happen is that you find out that those are not the type of people you want to associate yourself with. And when I start coming out more on my shelf, I started like living who I was. It was so beautiful, because all these fears that I had, all this like overthinking that I was putting myself in for, I realized were just all in my head. People were not even thinking that. People were really amazed. I'm like, wow, you're doing so great. I want to learn more. And it really caught me by surprise, because then I realized, wow, with the correct mentorship, you can really grow so much more. And this happened like maybe a year. This is only been a year progress. And I have grown so much in 1 year. So many things have happened, so much growth, and it's beautiful.
And I've watched it, and it's been wonderful. I mean, one thing that you're talking about, that the imposter syndrome, really, as a bulimic, which, as you know, I struggled with it for 30 years. I'm 11 years recovered from it. It's partly that, right? Like you're hiding behind a wall. You're not who you really are. You're trying to show other people. You're trying to beat other people with who you really aren't. Mm-hmm. And that's a difficult place to be. Now, you've also spoken to, if I remember, you were a little bit shy as well because of your accent. And now you're embracing it, which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about that.
So, you know, I grew up in Peru. I didn't grow up with much. It was just me and my grandfather and my grandma. And it was, you know, when you're living in that world, you think that that's it. You know, I'm a little kid. I don't know much about the world. I thought the world's just, I grew up right by in front of the beach, which is like my house and the beach and fishing every day. That I thought that was my life. And then when I moved to America, it was a really shocker because then I realized there's so much more. And this is about like 20 years ago that I moved here to America and I didn't speak a word of English. The only thing I knew how to say was when people ask me, do you speak English? And I would say, so-so. That was it. And I knew like certain words like, hello, how are you? But that was it. And I remember engraved in my brain is that when at first they sent me to like, I think it was like middle school or elementary school, like I had to walk in and there's a bunch of kids there because I came in kind of like in middle of the semester. And they were asking, the teacher asked me, do you speak English? And all the kids were like just looking and I say, so-so. And everybody was like, like disappointed about that. And that kind of like made me feel, I'm like, wow. Like I felt like a third person. I don't know how to describe it. Just felt like I wasn't wanted there because I couldn't speak the language. And that's throughout middle school, throughout high school. It took me to like probably like my first year in high school really to finally learn English well. Where I was like, okay, I can do this, and I felt a little better, but my accent is still there, and I always felt bad because people always would mention like, "Wow, Christian, can you say that again? Because I cannot understand you," and that drives me insane. That was one of those things that when I had to repeat myself four times, drove me insane. So when I kept it hidden, and with Forbes, I discovered that she's like, "Well, say it louder, you know, like that makes you unique." And then I realized that people nowadays, that again, that fear that I have from like all the bullying kids and everything else, was just, again, a fear from back then. People are now embracing, when I embrace who I was and my accent, people loved it. And now I feel much sexier, if anything.
And yes, and you show up quite often in very beautiful photos looking very sexy.
You're damn right, I do. You're damn right.
And that's lovely to look at, too. I love all of this because these are the things that, again, bringing it your story, as much as I know that you're not related to bulimia, but there's a lot of things that are parallel to that, the fears, the insecurities, and they can trigger that. And what is the biggest thing that you've learned? I know we've talked about a few of them here, but in life in general, to our audience, what would you say is your biggest life lesson, particularly in the last year in all this growth of personal development and transformation?
Well, one thing that life had taught me anything in the past year or in the past 2 years, I guess, because now it's almost over, is that you never know what tomorrow is going to happen, right? Like you can, normally most of us have gotten used to this, like, everyday habits, right? We wake up, we brush our teeth. We think the day is just going to go the same way we just done yesterday and the day before. But at any point in our lives, what we're doing right now today, tomorrow, it could change everything. Look at 2020. Like we were every day, I think it was like March 11. I woke up, I was doing my calls, I did everything. March 12, complete shutdown, they turned off the world. And then 3 months later, everything changed. So we just never know what's going to happen tomorrow. And it's one of those things that we just have to every day set a goal. It could be something small. It could be like, okay, today I'm going to call my parents, or today I'm going to call out my friends, or today I'm going to do that one thing because tomorrow is no guarantee. Tomorrow, those friends might not be there. Tomorrow, there's so many things that can happen. So enjoy the present moment. We're so worried about like, oh, I'm going to get ready for Christmas. Just enjoy your present moment because tomorrow is definitely not guaranteed. So just enjoy the present moment. Like today is my favorite day is today. I always tell myself now, I'm like whenever, every day, any day when people say, oh, what's your favorite day or what's your favorite time? Today, right now is my favorite time.
That's really interesting because I was talking to my daughter about that and I said, you know, your generation, because you're about the same age as my daughter. And I said, you know, I'm sorry that you were brought up in such a high, like technology, because everything was zoom, boo, zoo. It's like, mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I can say I had the good old days where we didn't have our cell phones, where you had to wait for the phone call or make the phone call, and nobody was expecting to respond so quickly. And she goes, Mom, she goes, I don't have those good old days. And she's right. Somewhat though you did to a certain point, but you were very young when the technology started into it. And
correct.
I sometimes feel that, you know, what you were saying, make a phone call. You know, she prefers a phone call to me texting her, but there's
correct.
Too many people now that prefer text to call. And I also said to her, but you know what, live for today, because what stressed me out and caused me so much anxiety when I was younger was looking at the future. And you're talking about just Christmas, looking at 10 years ahead. Why am I here? You know, I'm 20 something years old. I haven't made it to where I should be. And where am I going to be at 38? Don't worry, live today and stop worrying about the future, because honest to goodness, what I planned on doing when I was in my 20s, I didn't do any of that.
Yep.
Right? You can't always plan. Some people can, and some people manage to keep on that path. But many of us, like, look at you. You had made a lot of money, and then you had your partner, and you had, right? If you want to tell a little bit of that story, because I think that's important.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that, again, I learned is during 2017, I was able to, it was during 2016, believe it or not, I was lost. I didn't know much. I wasn't in the right place. And then during 2017 and 18, it was the years that I finally, I don't know if I can curse in here or not, but, you know, I got my stuff together.
You can.
Yeah. Oh, I got my shit together. And I finally was starting to discover these things. I started finally getting, like, leaving my bad habits behind. And it was it wasn't reaching, you know. And then I found mentors. Not mentors just like Forbes, like, because Forbes is a very personal mentor. She would, one-on-one. It was more like I was working with Grant Cardone and Jordan Stupart, where, like, they were sales mentors. And it really helped me focus on myself, and by 2019 I had made over $1 million. And then that same year, towards around this time, November, I had like a partner. I was working with a certain partners, and they stole my money. They literally took everything I had, left me with $87. And the what was in my brain during those times, it was like, it was towards the end of November, and I had $87. And I'm thinking, Christmas is, that's what the word Christmas always popped into my head. I was thinking at the moment, like, Christmas is coming, and all these people always are expecting all these gifts from me because I'm always giving them things. So I was terrified of Christmas. And, you know, it was kind of like, and I was like, you know what? I just have to do what I can. And I would have never guessed again that then the next year, 2020, would have been a crazy year as well. So during the end of 2019, I remember that I couldn't give presents to a lot of people. And that's when I realized who my friends were and who weren't. Because the people I couldn't give presents, they all decided they didn't want to talk to me anymore. They were gone, not out of my life. And I'm glad things like that happened. Because I learned, one, who was my real friends, who I could trust. And I was able to develop a lot of good friendships, stronger connections. And I'm glad that I made it back. Like, I was able to, because I have the skills, they could take your money, but they can take your skills. Once you know the skills of how to make a certain amount of money or how to make sales, to me, something like, well, I can make it again. Yeah, I lost it, but it's not lost forever. And I have been building back, and I'm glad that I'm finally in a place where I'm back at it again. My mindset is right, and I'm looking forward to every other to the next day, and especially always looking on today.
That's perfect. And you think about it, about the presents, right? I tell my children, and it's been years since we've given each other presents for Christmas or birthdays. We give them off, like, I'll hand something over to them, not on their birthday, not on Christmas, because at that particular moment. So they're just because presents. But the presents I want for my birthday or ask for, I don't needed, but if they're willing to, the biggest presence is their presence. Them being
correct,
right? Because like you said, we don't know what happens tomorrow. The memories are more important to me than a box of chocolate or flowers, although they're nice to get. Their presence is more important to me.
Correct. Yeah. You know, like, you can give me 1,000 flowers, it's not going to fix someone that has passed away.
Exactly.
Right? But if you bring me the person that passed away back, it's worth more than 1,000 flowers, right?
Yeah.
It's incredible to look at it away.
For sure. So as we close off, I know that you said that you have, I'd like to have my listeners hear more about you. You've got a course that's coming out. Do you want to talk a little bit about that with us?
Yeah. And actually, you know, one of the things, I don't know if I can say here or not, is that I also had a bulimia story. Not that happened to me necessarily, but I had someone went through a bulimic situation, and I was firsthand on it. And I thought it was pretty pretty intense. And when you were making this this podcast, it really was like, wow, you know, I wish more people like you would make this podcast and make it more into reality, because it's such a heavy topic. It's such a taboo for people. And I felt like that those people are like, oh, they can just stop doing what they're doing. It's not as easy, right? And if they could have like a helping hand, because a lot of times I feel like all they want is just a helping hand. Everybody's keep telling them, oh, stop doing it. Like they're like the bad guy. And it's not that, because in their moment, that's their best version of themselves at that moment. And if someone that has experienced it, like, because a lot of people like, you don't understand because you haven't been there. And it's true. If you haven't been there, you can't really understand the situation. And I'm glad that you are 11 years out, and you've been putting this podcast out to reach out to these people. I think it's so wonderful, because I know people that are in those situations that if someone like you will have come around, that tell them, hey, what's happening to you, your challenges and everything, is a story ready to come out. It's something that is going to be like your defining moment towards your next life or your next situation. And I think that's beautiful.
So did you want to speak a little bit to that experience?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's one of the, probably one of a defining moment in my life that I went to experience this. I, during 2018, my ex-partner's sister moving with us. I'm not going to say names just in case, you know, because I want to protect her identity.
Yeah.
But like my ex-partner's sister moved in, and you know, in the beginning, I have known her my whole life, and I never realized it. You know, the funny thing is that now when I think back at it, I see the moments. Whenever I would invite her to restaurants, she would always say no. Like, hey, you want to go to this place? She would always say no, because I always just assume, oh, maybe she's just busy or she doesn't like this food, whatever. And it wasn't until one day we were all living together, you know, and I remember I thought it was awkward cabbage, but you know, we're like, I was eating, I would never see her eat, right? And then we'll invite her, like, oh, do you want to eat dinner with us? Do you want to have breakfast? And she would always be like, no, I'm doing something else. I assume again that she was eating by, you know, her own stuff. And it wasn't until I could hear like the constant going to the bathroom and like the noise. And it wasn't until, you know, my partner told me, she was telling me, yeah, you know, my sister has this situation. And at first I didn't know what to do. I was like, do I stop eating myself? Because then the problem is that when you tell people that you have bulimia, then people start acting weird. I was one of those people acting weird. I didn't know what, I'm like, can I eat in front of her or do I eat in my room? Right? Is she going to feel uncomfortable with me eating? And the problem is that in my head, I'm thinking, oh, this is going to fix her. You know, if I stop eating in front of her, maybe she's going to feel better or something. And it made it worse, because then she realized, oh, you're avoiding eating in front of me because you know what I had. And it made her feel like kind of like excluded. And the sad part was that I didn't realize how bad it was getting till like she attempted to commit suicide. It was where she was having such a difficulty. And I remember that it was becoming a burden. Like it was not becoming a burden, but it was becoming like like you know when your heart is hurting for the person, like I can't remember the word, but it's kind of like, it's not a burden, but like, I want to say it's like a heartache. Well, something that hurts your heart. And
yeah, because if your empathy
was like, because in my brain I'm thinking,
understand it, yes,
correct. And in my brain all I could think was, well, you could just stop doing that. Like again, I was the person that I'm like, but it's so easy, you just eat your food and, you know, don't do anything else with it. But I didn't understand that the reason she was doing that was because, just like you mentioned before, it wasn't because she wanted to like be skinny or like look super fit. She was doing it because she had a situation in the past that made her feel like she wasn't in control of her life. And doing this was the only thing that she felt like she controlled. Like, this is it. This is me. I can control it. I'm doing this. And it took us a while. Like, she had 3 suicide attempts. I was in 2 of them. I was able to stop it. We had long talks. Me and her built a really strong friendship. I finally understood the pain. Like, I went through and I understood the pain of everything. And one of the most beautiful things is that after she worked through that and she finally started getting better, she wrote a book about like her poems that she'd been writing down when this was going on. I told her, look, write down the feelings. Instead of like doing the thing with the food, just write down your feelings on it. Write it down. Just, you know, it helps me journal. It might help you. And she wrote a book. She launched it on Amazon and it's been doing well for her. And it's so glad. I'm so glad to see her do so well. Like now, when you compare it to 2019 to today, she looks so different. She's been doing fine. She stopped doing it too as well. She stopped with her bulimia completely. And she looks so much happier. Like you can see a joy in her life. And one of the things is that she even competes in like a beauty pageant. You know, she competes like muscle pageants, kind of like what Joshua does, but woman version.
Okay.
And it's so cool to see her do that. And it's so impressive that you're not alone. If you have someone that can really come in and try to understand you, feel like they want to help you, it can make such a huge difference. Today, me and my girlfriend, we're no longer together, and that was her sister. And, you know, we have kept in touch. I kept in touch just to see how she's been doing, like with her bulimia and everything that she has already passed. And, you know, one of the things that she said is like, oh, you know, thank you for helping me. Thank you for making me understand. And to me, it was beautiful to see that. I was so glad and so happy to be able to see people like you, like move past that and finding happiness on the other side.
Well, thank you very much for that, because it was definitely the final, can get over, but it's also to figure out if somebody really cares for you, then you learn your triggers and what might be causing it. When you let go of those and have somebody saying, you know, no matter what, love you, you go, wow, really, that you still love me even if I'm bulimic, you know, kind of thing.
Yes, exactly.
It does help. And it's not, and I know it's hard for you. It was hard for my sisters and my friends who knew about it, and my daughter. Because you'd love to be able to give a magic potion to say, here, take this and you'll be cured. But
correct,
the person has to cure it. But people like you help people like what I was, bulimic, to overcome it and to recover fully. So thank you for that. And thank you for that story. To the suicidal attempts, that's really... you know, not to say there's a lot of people who have those thoughts, but to attempt it, that's really scary. But I remember one psychiatrist said to me that even bulimia is a slow form of suicide.
Yes.
And so I'm very glad that I managed to get through it. And just to our listeners, just I want to say really quickly, because I had one of my my followers on one of the podcasts ask me, what is... like, can you recover, or if you damage your body through bulimia, will it recover? Yes, it will. So the earlier you recover, the better. But, you know, correct. I had gone to the doctor and they said, you know, there were some abnormalities with my kidneys and my liver and that. Well, I just went, I'm 59 years old and I got a full checkup about 3 months ago and everything is clear. So you can recover for whatever damage that you've done. The teeth is a little bit more difficult, but the rest of it you can. So again, thank you. I really, really appreciate that story and so glad to hear that she's doing well. That's a success story. We like those. Thank you.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. Like it's like you said, like inspirational, you know, because then it makes you believe. Because at first, when you're in a situation, I thought there was no solution. I'm like, there's nothing I can do. This is just gonna get worse. And then when you start seeing like the little changes, like you know, instead of changing the person like all at once, you start with little habits, you know, like little things, like you eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? And then seeing, it's kind of like you've seen those pictures of people that they before and after they go to the gym, and it's like, whoa, what a transformation! It felt like that. It felt like, you know, I could see, like you said, like her teeth wearing like different, like I could start seeing like her hair. It was different changes. I'm like, wow, this is incredible. You know, pretty inspirational.
To say one of the best things is too, when you can actually go to a restaurant and have a nice dinner with your best friends and your family and not worry. Because that's why she was saying she didn't want to go, because she was worried, because she knew that 20 minutes after eating, she would have to find a place to go to the washroom. And if you're in public, right, it's more difficult. It's awful. It's the truth, though. But the most wonderful feeling is not worrying about that anymore. So,
wow.
Yeah. Little things that people don't know. And you were right about the control thing, feeling controlled. And then you think that you're in control of that. But the scary thing is it ends up controlling you. And it's hard to get rid of. Yeah. So as much as you think, oh yeah, this is my food, I'm controlling it. No, your bulimia ends up controlling you. And so you've got to realize this is not a friend. This is not good. Say goodbye. Not that easy.
Yeah.
But that's important to do. So yeah. So anything else you want to share? I know this is a beautiful story. Thank you. But I also don't want to let you go without you have a course that you're going to be. Is it too soon to tell people about it? Or
no. So one of the things is that I am launching my, you know, finally, after many people have asked me, hey, Christian, you know, you seem to have the skills. You seem to be different. And I always say, yeah, because one of the biggest problems with sales, like most people are doing sales nowadays, or they're like, oh, I'm making sales, but I'm not making it far. Is that kind of like what you were talking about, like you have the good times, right? Everything have changed. People are still doing the same sales techniques that they use during the good times, and they assume that it's going to work in our current time. And that's completely wrong. Like, when was the last time when someone called you that you normally like pick up the phone? If it's an unknown number, right? You don't. If they don't leave your voicemail, I ain't gonna pick it up, right? Or if they text me, sometimes I will reply back. And the thing is that there are so many things that have changed. Now we have social media, now we have this and everything. That people still using like the old, like prospecting tips and the old way of reaching out to people is just no longer working as good as they did before. And one of the things that became successful is that now I use all the new techniques. I use believe it or not, I use like Google reviews, and I use Facebook, Instagram. I use everything that is new to us, even TikTok now, to be able to reach out to customers. And you'll be surprised how much more sales I can make, because now I know how to use this. People are surprised that I will send them a meme, and people are like, wow, no one have ever sent me a meme. And I'm like, yeah, it's the Christian way. So this is something that I wanted to at least put in like 10. I created a small course, a sales course, to show people, hey, stop using like the old way of selling, move on to the new century, and start with like start creating a new art. And it's gonna be like coming out soon. I wanna say by next week, I should have it out. And it will be on my website. It's 1-800-CHRISTIAN, the CRISTIN.com, so that people can come and see me and buy it.
Perfect. And what is the course name going to be? Because I am on Udemy, whatever people call it.
It's going to be called the Art of Prospecting.
Okay. All right. Personally, I think this is great, but I think that the Christian way would be, you know, like a great tagline at the end of it.
That's no, I, honestly, I tried to do that, but people have already taken it because Christian means like religion. So people were doing, like, when I was doing Christian religion, what the CEO will pop up, like the Google search, would be like Christian church, and people wouldn't search like sales and Christian at the same time. So,
and you're right, you are so right, Christian, too, because people are so guarded. Even when you pick up the phone, because I'm staying with my parents and they have landlines. So, you know, they're still on Canada 411 or whatever, you can find them. And they get so many calls, but immediately when you pick it up and you look at the number, you don't know it, we'll answer it. And either they hang up or, you know, I'll make a joke. I mean, sorry, I have to throw this out. Rob Ansbach, I love his books, you know, the Rob versus the Scammers. And I read that book and I start using that stuff. So somebody goes, hey, you know, we're calling about ducks. And I said, no, we only have Canada geese. Like, and I feel bad because those people are making those calls, but they're also quite often they're going to be abused by the people who are answering. Like, I don't really mean the word abused, but made fun of or talked mean to. And you're right, that's not the right way to do it. And getting the trust of people is huge now with all the scams and everything. That's really
great. And now the problem is that it's no longer something you need to do this. Social media, you know, now you can actually send them a message and they can see who you are. They can get a good, they can go in your social media and say, okay, based on what I'm looking here, I can trust this person. Yeah. And they're more willing to do business with someone that they can see and trust, right? And I'm over the phone. I don't know how you look like. I don't know if what you're telling me is true. I don't know anything about you and you want me to sign a contract over the phone, right? It's always like a lot easier when it's, when they can see who you are.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much again for being here with me, Christian. And again, it's 1-800-CRISTIAN.com to find you.
Yeah. So 1-800 is the number 1-800. Then spell out the word Christian, like CRISTIAN.com.
Perfect.
They will have all my links in there.
Perfect. Thanks again. Really appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Lorianne, for having me.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Be sure to visit me at bleepbulimia.com.